No one tells you what you can be. When God created you, he said you just like me. Hold your head up, it's time to stand tall. Your beauty says you can have it all.
Welcome to Wake Up Women Weddings and a new show that we're now doing on the Wake Up Women channel. And this is Before I Do, After I Do, and Happily Ever After. And I'm one of your co-hosts, Suzanne Streisauer, along with my wonderful co-host, Nicole Brandon. And we are going to have a fun show tonight. We're actually going to introduce the founder of Wake Up Women to you, and Nicole's going to talk about all the special things that we do and she does with brides. And then we're going to have a DJ who's done over 2,000 weddings, and he's a special guy. So it's going to be a special night tonight, and I'm thrilled that we're going to do the show tonight. So, hey, Nicole, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy we're doing this, and I'm glad Karen's joining us tonight. And for all of our listeners to this show, this is a new show that we're doing that we just started last week. And the thing that's great about it is it's on Wake Up Women. And to tell you a little bit about Wake Up Women and the message of Wake Up Women, it was founded by Karen Mayfield about 5 years ago, and she had a vision long before that. But the vision for Wake Up Women is that it is about happiness, health, wealth, peace of mind, and living the life you love. So now we're going to take that specifically to weddings, and all of our shows are going to be informational, instructional, and inspirational. And so it's a great combination, and we've been doing a morning show for months. So if you want to come and join us on the Wake Up Women Live show, which is on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 Pacific Standard Time, just go to blogtalkradio.com/wakeupwomen, and you can listen to our other sister show. So without further ado, Karen, I want to say hello and welcome you to the show tonight.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. And hey, Nicole, how are you?
Hi. Howdy from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yoo-hoo.
So, Karen, talk about Wake Up Women and talk about your vision of that. And, you know, what made you decide to make this amazing movement that we've all said yes to and are playing with you in?
You know, for a long time, I knew that I needed to do something for women. I tried a women's magazine a long time ago. And even years ago, I was actually a bridal consultant, and I did weddings all the time. And then later on in my life, I became a Mars-Venus facilitator, and I worked with a whole lot of people before they ever got married in the, you know, in a like a coaching setting. And, you know, I just know how much it is about relationships are the best seminar in town. That's where all your stuff's going to come out. It's where, you know, everyone is looking for love. And when you can find it and it's long-lasting, I think that that is one of the things that really takes away a lot of stress. There's nothing better than a good relationship and nothing worse than a bad one. And so for years I have been drawn to helping women to be happy in love, happy in life, happy in business, and, you know, just wake up to all the possibilities that's there for them to have. And so I think that the universe, Wake Up Women was always meant for to come to me and for me to have it be as a long-term endeavor and also an internal driven, I don't think it's, it is a passion. It really is, because I know when women wake up how different their life becomes. So, hey, here we are. Look at everything now, 5 years later. Of course, I started out with Heidi Reagan and Artis Barreau. We had a great time. Suzanne, you were the first co-author. Nicole was the fifth co-author.
Wow.
Well,
I know.
We share the vision with you, Karen, that's for sure.
I know.
That's
wonderful.
Sad. And I have a question for you, Karen. Why do you think, you know, as we're talking about weddings, that women are so attracted to romance novels? And what is it about love that women want to read and write about and connect with?
Okay. First off, I've never read a romance novel in my life. And I know, I haven't. And for a long time, I made all kinds of relationship mistakes, and I didn't realize how much that had something to do with me as a young girl when my father left when I was between the ages of 5 and 6. And then what that did to me at that age was something that I played out in my relationships long after that, and it was not until I started working with Dr. John Gray on the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus platform that I actually figured that out. And I think that Happily Ever After, The White Picket Fence, The Dog, The Cat, The Kids, I think it's an innate thing that is there with women and with even some men. And I just got through watching Millionaire Maker, you know, with Patty, and she's so cool. And I remember meeting her at the Emmys when we were doing the first Wake Up Women book. And I see now how when women, romance is, it's it. I mean, to be happy in love is to really and truly be happy in life.
Well, there's nothing as vital as it either, Karen. I mean, you talk about when you're most alive, and it's when you're in love. And, you know, it's interesting, Nicole, because you're our romance writer. What led you to write romances? I mean, I think of Jacqueline Suzanne and Daniel Steele, and remember reading a lot of Jacqueline Suzanne. Couldn't get enough of her when I was younger. And here you are, a romance writer, and how did romance writing differ from you, from your own relationship experience? How is it the same difference?
Actually, Suzanne, that's probably the best question anyone has ever asked me. I've been a published writer since I was in second grade, which is truly amazing. But I would always write poetry. That was really what I wrote about. I would just see anything and I would write a poem. That's what I was inspired to do. And then I have a friend of mine who is a very famous cop writer. His name is Rift Fournier. And when he was born, his parents fought about what to call him, and it caused a rift, and that's actually what they named him.
Aww.
A great name. And he is one of the best, most noted cop writers in the history of all time. I mean, from Beretta to Kojak to Hill Street Blues, he is just, you know, from Helltown to Dark Justice, he's just an amazing, 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 amazing crime and cop writer. And we became friends when I was very young. And he said to me one day, he said, you know, you have to stop writing poetry. You have to start writing long form and make some money with your writing. And I said, what do you write about? And he said, you write about one of two things. You write about something you know better than anyone else in the world. That's how manuals are written. He said, or you write about something you know nothing about. From your fantasy, he said, from your fairy tale, the little green people on Mars or something. Mm-hmm. And I went home. And I made a list of everything I knew better than anyone I knew. And at that point, I knew more about art, literature, dance, theater. I mean, there were many subjects that I actually was very versed on. But none of them, when I looked at them on paper, were earth-shattering. And I had never been in love. I had never been with a man. And it's something I dreamed about. And so love, to me, was my little green people on Mars. And I wrote this love scene having no idea what real love was or what sex was or what anything was. I just wrote from my concept of what I thought it was. And, you know, and as we talk about the body, and we'll continue to talk about my fitness end for brides, but I'm a contortionist. And so in my world, the body had no physical limitations. So the body could do absolutely anything. So I had this unbridled body and this innocent, curious sense of love. And I wrote this love scene.
And I gave it to him, and a couple weeks went by, and I thought, oh, my gosh, it's so bad. He hasn't even called me. And he showed up at my door a couple weeks later and said, you're being hired by a major studio as a contract writer to come on and to write love scenes for A-list writers who are action-adventure writers and thriller writers and horror writers and people that write high-speed car chases and buildings blowing up. They have no idea how to write love scenes, and you're being brought on by the studio as a contract writer, as a ghostwriter to write love scenes. And here I had never been with a man, and I was being hired to write love scenes for feature films. And that's how my career began.
So give me an example, Nicole, of one of those scenes. Because, I mean, if it was me and I was wanting to write like that, I'd say, okay, I better see some pornographic movies or something. I better start somewhere. And so tell me what one of those scenes was. Tell me what a memorable scene was.
I didn't. It was whatever it was to me.
Yep.
Was really what it was to me. It was like I would, you know, if I had people making love on silk sheets, they could fly it off the sheets and bang their head on the wall. If I had somebody and the guy had a pager and the pager went off, all of a sudden I would have him look at it and all of a sudden use it as a vibrator or something. If whatever it was that I had in that moment, if I was doing a Christmas scene and they were decorating a tree, I would have them make love underneath the tree and I would have the lights all over her body or whatever. Whatever in that moment I was writing, the scene just came to me.
So a lot of it was about the props of the moment, which is a very natural flow of activity that then was generated. I love that.
And then I would always see movies where they had love scenes where they'd be making love in the snow or in the elevator or wherever or in the shower, and I would say, oh, this is horrible. I would never write it like that. And in my mind, I always had a different way that the scene should go, a much freer, more passionate way of a more spontaneous way. And I would actually, at that point, I started dating and I would be on dates and I'd be in the movie theater with the guy and I would say, oh, that they should have done this and that sexually. And I terrified men. I had never been with anybody, but I had ideas of what it should be like.
Holy Jesus. Well, so Karen, as a Mars Venus facilitator, talk about what you learned about relationships and how, you know, what you learned in your own personal relationships, and then also how did you coach from that place for couples?
You know, it was really interesting. I think the first thing that I always used to work with people on was, and this is something I still see even though I'm almost 60 years old. Wow, I can't believe it's 2 years away. Oh, my God.
We all look
okay.
So young. It's amazing.
Oh, no.
None of us look or act our age, it's for sure.
Well, never. Of course not. You know,
I mean, we don't mind telling it, but we don't act it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I think that one of the things that I've noticed is that with more so with women than with men, but it's also with some men also, is that it's not always that they get in a relationship with somebody based on how much money that other person has, but they get in a relationship based on how much money they don't have. I feel like that a lot of women, when you're in your 20s, you're looking to find somebody that is probably a good specimen to have children with. Then when you get into your 30s, you know, by this time a lot of people are in there. If they've never been married, they are looking to, they're still looking for that perfect guy to, you know, to have, you know, to have kids with. By the time you're in your 40s, you probably have been in, you know, been married. You have kids from different, you know, from different relationships. Then it's how much, you know, can you blend this whole thing together and where do careers work in? And so you have to start bringing in all of these add-ons. You know, it's not just you and that person. Then when you get in your 50s, I think that by then it's really about companionship. You've learned by then what you really do want. I think that a lot of times, especially maybe in your 40s, a lot of times you focus on what you don't want. Oh, I don't want anybody that does that, or I don't want anybody that does this. I think by the time you reach your 50s, you know what you can and cannot deal with, and it's then that you're probably not, like for me, if there's certain things I know I can't deal with, I don't even go there in the beginning.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that as you get older and you acquire certain material assets or different things, that I always work with everyone who's looking to get married to have a prenup and a postnup. And I'll say, you know, when you're falling in love, everything is good in the beginning. When you're about to get married, that's, you know, a wonderful moment. But get money off the table.
Right.
Make for sure that money's not the reason you're doing something or not doing something. Just remove that. And, you know, it's it makes for a longer-term relationship. I know that now then, you know, we have a whole new world out there with online dating. And I think that has changed the world of dating in a sense, up on its end, and a lot of people really, they probably have a lot of trial and error a lot of times because, you know, it's like before we ever had online dating, you would meet someone, you would determine if you were a match, then you would marry. Now then you match and meet. And a lot of times, you know, you get all matched up, you know, on phone conversations and chit-chatting and doing all of this stuff, and it's almost like a fairy tale romance in a way. It's almost like a romance novel, you know. You know, in your profile, you talk about walking along the beach and watching the sunset and all this kind of stuff. And I remember after my husband died, and Byron and I, you know, our editor for Wake Up Women, we were going to do Looking for Love Online of all places, and so I got online and interviewed men, and he got online and interviewed females for us to come up with kind of a sampling of what would and wouldn't work and what people were, you know, what they could improve on and just different things from a relationship coach's perspective. And, you know, the thing that I think is that be real. Tell it like it is. Don't candy coat it. You know, if you leave dishes in the sink, hey, say it there. You know, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Be real. And, you know, forget the glamour shots. I mean, it's okay to have a good photograph, but you know what? When you glamour, as my friend Barbara Bean goes, when you glamour push yourself up there and then they see you, it's like, oh, my Lord, what have I done? You know, and so I think that online dating has totally changed the world of dating, and one of the things that Looking for Love Online of all places deals with is John Gray's five stages of dating and how that applies to online dating, because it's totally changed now. It's a new world out there, and as we get older, we date for different reasons. We marry for different reasons. By now we've got kids and grandkids, and so, you know, you just you look for companionship, not so much security. In the early stages, you look for the parenting, you know, that person who's going to be the best parent, the best father. I can just see myself having his kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In your 20s and in your 30s, he's like, oh, my word, these kids of his are heathens. You know, so I think that your perspective of relationships change as you get older. And I know that my aunt is single and has been single. Her husband's been dead now for a long time. And her deal is really just somebody to have someone to do something with. Play cards, go out and eat. You know, sex is not something they think about that much, you know. And, you know, so it's really different. Always, as you get older, though, here's another thing that I've noticed. You've always got to have room for somebody in your life. You know, if you filled up that whole closet, you're filling up every single vacancy that you have in your life. And you won't have room for somebody. And then, you know, it gets, because I think if we get single for a while, we fill our vacancies up. And mm-hmm. So, you know, we get caught up in different things.
And that's great advice, Karen. It really is.
It's really interesting. Keep yourself open. Keep yourself a place for somebody to fit in.
Well, and we were talking about, Suzanne and I on the original show, and we were talking about on my bridal weekends how we have women, we help them write their vows.
Yeah.
And that a lot of women, when they actually get up to say their vows, they're so nervous. They don't say what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say what's in their heart. And so as we're talking about love and we're talking about Mars Venus and we're talking about the wake up books, you know, and I know that we're doing the books of before and during and after the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, during the wedding, when people are saying their vows, what would you tell them to say?
You know, I think that you need to speak from the heart. Now, I've been married 3 times. I've been divorced twice, and then I've been widowed. The last time that I got married, I had been single for about 15 years. And after my second divorce, I said, I will never be divorced again. And the only way that I knew to prevent that was to never remarry. I'd never had a wedding. And so at 49, when I remarried, I had a wedding for the first time. I wore my aunt's wedding dress that was almost 50 years old. It was one of the most magical times in my life. And I know that I don't think it was really vows, but what it was that I actually said, you know, I just kind of told Phil what he did, how he completed an already complete life, how he added to a life that was full, how he made, you know, it's like we had these things on our bucket list that we still wanted to do, and it seemed like that mine and our entire marriage was about fulfilling us, helping each other to make those dreams come true. And
you don't get a better life than that, Karen.
Yes, it was such a magical time. And you know, I know there's probably a lot of people out there that have been married, got married at the courthouse. I got married at the Justice of Peace the first time, and the second time I got married at work on lunch break.
Is that the Arkansas way of eloping?
I think so. Closest to, I couldn't take off work, so I got married on my lunch hour. Anyway, and then, but the third time I had a bona fide wedding. We sent out invitations. We had a reception. It was, you're never too old to have a wedding. And I don't care how many times you've been married. It's, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay to have one. Everybody needs, I don't think they need, everybody can relish in being a bride.
And being special like that. Nicole, how many times have you been close to the altar?
That's such a great question.
Do you like how I put that?
Close to the altar twice. And I've had 14 marriage proposals. I think Guinness is looking for me.
So tell us what happened, Nicole, in your life. So there's two, you know, 14 proposals, which is a great story. So you have to tell us about that. And two close ones. So talk to us about all that and then what happened.
Well, it was really funny because I've had proposals from people that I wasn't even dating, people that just thought that they were in love with me and I should be their bride.
Oh,
and I actually had somebody that went to my father and asked for my hand in marriage, and my father said, have you talked to my daughter?
Well,
I wasn't interested. And then I had somebody that came to me, and they asked me to marry them. And when I said no, they went back to my parents and said, do you have any other daughters? Because you guys are great. I would love to have you.
Well, that's a nice testament.
And I have very special parents, but I had somebody that proposed to me when I was very young. We weren't even dating. We were in a class together. And he proposed to me on a plane, which was terrible because on a plane there is nowhere to go.
Yep.
And I had to say no, and it was a very long flight, and he was so sad. He just met me and knew I was the woman of his dreams. And then I was able to find him on Facebook a couple of years ago, and I was able to communicate and say, I never meant to hurt you. I just, that's not who I was at that time, and I wasn't even looking to get married, and I was so young, I wasn't even dating. And then he proposed again. So, and so, well, maybe you weren't ready then, but, you know, I've always been in love with you. And then I had to say no twice. So I think that sometimes it's interesting, because I was having a conversation with a man the other day, and he was asking me if I get hit on a lot, which I thought was a really kind of odd, interesting question for a man to ask me. And I honestly said, yes, I do. I said, but the reason that I think that I get hit on as much as I get hit on is because I think that I personify a, like, the essence of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I am so feminine in so many ways, and so caring and so nurturing and so loving, but yet so brave and so strong.
Right.
You know,
and you're also
like,
so energetically open, Nicole. You know, I mean,
so,
when I was younger and energetically open like that, it was like, you know, leave me alone, and it never ended. So it's interesting.
So yes, and then the two times that I came close, I was very much in love with somebody for many, many years, and he had a serious drinking problem. And the hardest part of it was that when he drank, he became lovely. He became like William Shakespeare, and he would recite sonnets and tell you how beautiful life was and compliment everybody around him. And he became so charming, where he didn't become this abusive person. He became this person he always wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
When he drank, but that didn't change if I had wanted a family or I did not want him, you know, out driving or unsafe or unhappy in his own life.
Yeah.
He couldn't do holidays, or I can't tell you how many times I was going to awards dinners and a limousine would come and I was in a gown and he'd be in a tuxedo and he'd say, I can't go because I might drink and ruin your evening and you should have a special night.
Mm.
And he wouldn't go with me. And so it killed me. And it was interesting because I left after many, many years, and I always said, you have to be at least a year sober before we get married, and he would make it 10 months, 9 months. He never made it a year. And then a couple years ago, I was with him, and we remained friends, you know, through the years, and we were standing in a kitchen overlooking, like, a main street and a park. And as we were having a conversation, there was a horrible car crash on the street. And, I mean, just horrendous car crash right in front of our eyes. And mid-sentence, he jumped out of this kitchen, ran out of the door, ran down the stairs. And as he was running down the stairs to this, you know, street, he took off his shirt and he's tearing it into pieces. And when he got to the street, I could see from the window, he pulled this guy out of the car and he was wrapping the guy with his shirt to stop the blood and holding his head up. And I'm watching him do this from the window. And in that moment, I knew exactly why I almost married him. I knew exactly why I loved him and why I was there all those years. I know why I left, but I knew all the reasons I loved him in that very moment.
Yep.
And so, and then the other time I had something happen in my life, I was in a terrible car accident, and I, you know, at some point we may talk about that, and how I put myself back together again, and when they told me I wasn't going to walk, the man that I thought that I was going to marry walked out the door. He couldn't deal with that. And I tell people on stage when I talk about it that no matter how bad my body hurt, my heart hurt so much more. But the most amazing thing is that I almost married someone who had no idea who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've put myself not only back together, but have become, you know, internationally a spokesperson for fitness and health. And in a way, the universe rescued me because I almost married a man that didn't know me at all, but yet nothing can take away that pain, because I really believe that that was the man I was going to, you know, spend my happily ever after with. So so it's an interesting journey, you know, looking for the one. And I think it's so wonderful. It's interesting because I'm in Salt Lake City today and for the WIN conference, and there was someone sitting next to me on the plane flying from Los Angeles, And as we were landing, she looked outside the window, and she just poked my shoulder, and she had the most innocent smile, and she said, "Is that snow?" I said, "Yes," and she said, "Snow. I've never seen snow, so that's snow." And she was from another country, and oh, my gosh, the first experience of seeing snow. And the joy that this woman exuded next to me, and that's what it's like when someone finally falls in love. Is that it? You know, I've never felt that, and that kind of joy, and in that moment, I got love in a very different way.
Well, and yeah, and it's almost like your molecules change. You know, who you are, your beingness changes. And, you know, I went and rekindled something with my boyfriend of 35 years earlier, not too long ago. And it was really, it was like all the molecules changed. And so it's really interesting because you can have love in so many different ways. And sometimes it'll last and sometimes it won't, you know, just like we've all talked about it. And it can go for a lot of different reasons, too, you know, whether it's a death or lack of, you know, kind of a connection. But it's that specialness. And, you know, what I've always said is I want that no matter what, relationship or not. You know, that's the state of being I want to live in. Or just like that woman who saw snow, that's where I want to be all the time.
It was just, I mean, that was something I've never experienced, that kind of joy next to me. That kind of innocence unfolding.
Right.
Was just spectacular.
That is very cool. So talk a little bit about the Women's Information Network and the conference that you're at, Nicole, and what that's going to be like. And just to let you know that Phil did pop in, and I told him we'd be about another 15 minutes, so he's willing to join us and going to come back, and I'll let you know when he's here. And Karen, you have a live mic if you want to say anything, by the way.
Yes, and Karen, I really, while we have you, I would love you, before I talk about when, I would really love you to talk about the books that we're doing and how people can participate in our bridal books.
Perfect.
You know, let me say something about love first. There's love as a feeling, and then there's love as a vibration. That love as a feeling is the attraction love, the love that you feel. This is the before I do. This is when it's so strong, and it's just you're energized, and, you know, you get excited, and you get butterflies, and it's the falling, it's, you know, it's the getting there. Then, kind of, you know, love as a vibration is kind of after I do, and it's, and I think that when you say before I do, that's when you're falling in love. The I do is transitioning from falling in love and moving into love as a vibration, because it begins to change. After you say I do, this is where you are, you see each other every day, you know, you're sharing household expenses, you're making plans, you don't make decisions just for the me anymore, you make decisions for the we. And, you know, just like with all the other Wake Up Women books, these books here, you know, now to me, I think these are some of the most important relationship books that will ever be written. If you have a story about your falling in love story and your, you know, what made that so special, and, you know, just any of those things, we want you to send us your story, share them with us. And, you know, if you're an expert, we want you to write as far as on your expertise. If, you know, if you have, you know, if you have this, heck, write about your vows, how, why you wrote the vows that you wrote, why you said the things that you said, and why that meant so much to you. Any and everything about your before, during, and after I do, so that you can live happily ever after. This is what we want to pass on to everyone else out there, because relationships, when they break up, really does work hard on the economy. I mean, you know, households break up. I mean, it's just, it's not just the splitting up of a relationship like when you're, you know, when you're dating. and you break up, you know, because when you get divorced after the breakup, this is something that's it's devastating in a lot of ways. A lot of times, you know, you're breaking up a family, and then you get into, you know, dealing with, you know, the children and the visitation, and then bringing in another person, and then they become, you know, part of a parent, and how to co-parent, and, you know, joint custody, and just, you know, there's just all kinds of different things. The purpose of a prenup and a postnup. So any stories that you have about the before, during, and after of I Do, we want you to come and, you know, share your story with us, because we have readers out there that you may say one single sentence, one single word that can totally change another person's life. And what good is it for you to know something, or what good is it for you to experience something if you don't share it with someone else?
That's wonderful. And Karen, where do they send that when they write their story?
Just send it to Karen@wakeupwomen.com. Or if you have any questions about the books, you can also email me. We're always working on books, so that's something that, you know, we have about, oh gosh, 10 titles open right now. Every time I think we need another, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, the world needs to know about this, so we got to write a book.
Do you still have the book open on the online dating? Can people still send you their stories on that? Because
yes,
I think
we
have a lot of stories out there that people can send you.
If you have a success story or a failure story or a hopeful story or a hopeless story, you know, about online dating, if you're an expert at online dating or an expert in relationships, you know, send us your story. We want to write about that, because that book is probably, we even have a song that we'll put the soundtrack in for this one here too. You know, it's called, and it's called Looking for Love Online of All Places, you know, and it's really pretty cool. So that you'll get the, I guess, the MP3 or the download or whatever it is for that song, because it's really pretty cool too.
That's fantastic, Karen. And I think, you know, relationship journeys in and of themselves is also part of that. It's like, with all the Wake Up Women books and all the stories from the Wake Up Women Live show, every time I read one of those stories, I'm inspired on whatever the topic is. So I'm excited that we're doing something on online and before I do, and after I do. I mean, what a great thing, and what a great way that, you know, people can contribute to one another.
Well, you know, I think we're a book series, but, you know, like we have two books on we have, like, the book on Be Happy, Healthy, Wealthy. Then we have the book on Be Happier, Healthier, Wealthier with Peace of Mind. And then now we've got, you know, the relationship series, which is the online dating book. And then, you know, we go on to Before I Do, and then After I Do. I mean, so we go on to there. And, you know, who knows what kind of books we'll write. We may continue with this relationship series for quite some time, because you know, this is a big deal right now. Relationships are a big deal, and there are some tips and tidbits and what I call our golden nuggets and our golden wisdom that we can share with people, because we know certain things that make relationships work. And you know, I can't wait to be able to share that with the world, because I know. There's, oh my gosh, how do you mend a broken heart? You don't. It mends itself, and it's called time. But, you know, it won't kill you. You will live through it, and you will live to love again.
I think that's fantastic, Karen, and I can see that, because that series could actually be bigger than the original Wake Up Women's, because there's so many topics and thinking about everything that's going on. So, Nicole, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was just going to say, you know, because I know we want to have Phil come on, but I wanted to say for all the brides that are out there, this is such a wonderful opportunity to learn from your community, to learn from other people who have been married, who are getting married, and it's also a great place for you to share your experiences, your love, your vision, your dreams, your hopes, your foibles, your failings, you know, your ecstasy, your passion, your powers, and so, you know, as we come together, this is a wonderful place and space to be able to have a sisterhood and to have other people to answer those questions that are calling in your heart. And so, Karen, thank you for making that possible.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, Nicole, I just I want to thank you for encouraging us to do this. You know, one of the things that I think would be good in the I Do book is tell us your crazy wedding story.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And I think that Phil is going to tell us a little bit about that when he gets on. So
but he's here now, Nicole.
Just to say. Okay, wonderful.
He's here now. So I'd actually like to bring him on and so we can have him while he has time for us because I think his time is precious. So should we just have him right now and then we'll go on from there after?
Absolutely. That sounds perfect.
So
Karen,
introduce
thank
your friend.
Hi, Phil. Thank you for being with us.
Well, hello. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Thank you so much for calling up, you know, calling in. So we were talking about, I know that you've been traveling on the road today, but actually we were talking about the kickoff music. Suzanne was saying, you know, we have this song that we're playing at the beginning of the show, but we really need some bridal music. And we really don't know what bridal music is or what wedding music is. And it's funny because I was telling her, and for those of you who don't know, this is Phil Coombs, and that has really been a grand part of your life and something that you were an expert in. And through the process of that, you actually got to learn a lot about weddings and mistakes people make and things that work. And, you know, can you share some of your history and some of knowledge with us and our viewers?
Yeah, I've always had a big love of music and probably had a big ego with, you know, people, you know, being, not so much ego, but just, you know, working with people and kind of fell into the DJ business by accident. I was at a club and I said, oh, I think I can do better than that. Next thing you know, I was DJing and was involved with it for about 20 years. Got to the point where my company was one of the larger ones in California. We were doing it upwards of about 1,000 shows a year. Didn't advertise anywhere, but it was all referral business. And, you know, the whole thing about it was just having a good time and putting everybody at the event at ease. And that's really what it's about. We put the show together, but people are not there to see us. They're there to see the guests of honor, which are the bride and groom. And so I would always sit down with the couples, and I go, you know what, if you want your reception to be a success, be physically present and be emotionally present. People are there to see you. And I said, you know, we'll make things a lot of fun, but you got to be there. And that's what it was. And, you know, there's so darn many things that take place, you know, in the course of a wedding and a reception. And we say, you know what, you just show up, we'll take care of it, you know, one piece at a time. And just had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, bottom line, if everybody walks away enjoying themselves and nobody was stressed, we did our job.
That's fantastic. And then you were saying that you would go around to the tables and you would also talk to people and you would be able to really help the bride and groom just be able to have those few pictures and those few moments and those special times and just enjoy the day, and that you really created the ambiance. You really created the container for this very day that they're going to remember forever.
We were part of the team. And when people walk away, they weren't saying, oh, my gosh, Phil Coombs did such a great job. They walk away saying, oh, you know, the couple, we had such a blast, and everything went, you know, off without a hitch. But there was, you know, there was a lot of things in the background where, you know, during the course of dinner, and I do this for selfish reasons, but I would get bored, so I'd go around to the tables and, you know, how do you like the music? Is the level okay? Is there anything I can help you with? And it was just kind of something that we did. You know, we went around and, you know, covered a lot of bases. And the same with the brides. We told them that there's really only two things you got to worry about. You know, enjoying yourself and, you know, being there. And when it comes to the events, we come and get you. You know, whether it's working with the photographer, the videographer, your first dance, the toast, whatever. And, you know, we'd work with the catering people, the photographers. I mean, everybody that had some integral part of the event, we would work with in the background. You know, the brides and the grooms, they should just be visiting with their family and friends and be concerned about nothing else. And, you know, all the professionals that are there, they'll come and get them. They shouldn't have to worry about it. And we just had a really, really good time with it.
That's a fantastic way you set that up, Phil, and I love the feeling of that. And I'm wondering what you've seen in terms of music and how it's sort of evolved over the years that you've been doing this and the thought or, you know.
You mean as far as the genre of music?
Well, the genre and just the feel, you know. I mean, you know, music is so different than it was 20 years ago. And I'm, you know, is it, do people still want like traditional wedding music even though we're having a lot
absolutely.
Of hip-hop? Or?
Absolutely. The music is different from the standpoint of, you know, what's playing in the top 40 radio stations, but it really has not changed a lot at weddings. Music that is good is timeless. They're still into the traditional, you know, classical instrumental style music for the wedding part. You know, big band, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, things like that is as popular as it ever has been. 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s. Anything that is fun to listen to or has a good dance beat never goes out of style. And so, I mean, I could go and do a wedding today from 20 years ago, and the difference in the style and the music would probably only vary maybe 5, 10% is all.
Wow.
So it's, you know, the older stuff is as popular ever. In fact, just this last summer I did a wedding, and the bride was totally into the 80s music. I don't think we played anything from the past 20 years. So, you know, and we play to the crowd. We play to their requests. And music really is timeless if it's good. And the fact that you always want to keep it at a proper level, an appropriate level, you know, whether it's, you know, easy listening background during the course of the meal or dance during dinner. I mean, during you know, once the dancing gets going, but any music above a certain decibel level is just noise. So, you know, we always ride that fine line between, you know, making sure that the music is appropriate level and not just making noise.
And how has it changed from records to 8-tracks to mixes as far as technology? Has technology changed weddings at all?
Well, the technology hasn't so much changed the weddings. It's changed the accessibility, the amount of music. Back in the dark ages, I started with LPs and 45s. Then came the advent of the CD, and then, you know, the iPod, and now everything is on a hard drive. Quite frankly, I had a better time playing with the LPs and the 45s.
Why is that for you, Phil? Because I would think that you didn't have to schlep as much stuff around nowadays. But why do you prefer the
CD? Yeah, I mean, you're not. We used to carry, you know, hundreds of thousands, well, just tons of music, and, you know, what people would call the milk crates. And yeah, it was heavy stuff. But once we had it in position, we had everything filed. I could find something just as quick as on the computer, and we liked it because we could do more things with it. Instead of just pushing buttons, I mean, we're queuing 45s, we're queuing LPs. And the thing is there's a great sound to the LPs and 45s. It's very, very dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often you can get a better sound from that than playing things in digitally. And so we had fun with it.
Are there any mistakes, like don'ts, that you'd recommend for people at weddings around music and kind of like, you know, the things that just don't work around music at weddings?
Number one, don't make my ears bleed.
Too loud.
Anything that would be riding the edge as far as if there's any suggestive lyrics. I mean, you're going to have, there's so darn much music out there in every era, you know, from the 20s all the way up. There's really no need to be playing any music that's going to be possibly offensive to somebody. I mean, you're having age groups, you know, multiple 3 and 4 and sometimes 5 different generations there, you know, from, you know, little kids up to the great-grandparents. And so, you know, you just want to use your head. You know, why offend some, you know, why offend somebody by playing this one song where you have a choice of playing 30 others that are just as good? That and you want to play to the crowd. You know, you want to make sure they're having a good time. When I would sit down with the couples and want to find out, you know, what music they want for the first dance or the father-daughter dance and things of that nature, I would also say, you know, what kind of music do you like? What don't you like especially? And the stuff that you do like, give me maybe 10 or 12 songs to work with. Now, during the course of the 4 or 6 hours that we're going to be performing, we're going to be playing a lot more music than that. But we are constantly playing to the crowd. And so if we went down a sheet and we're just playing, you know, exactly what's on the page, we become a glorified jukebox and we're not playing to the crowd. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we tell people that, you know, just kind of give us a handful of what you really want and then especially what you don't want. And, you know, we pretty much take care of the rest. And, you know, we're available, too, for requests. Not only do we want to put the bride and groom at ease and their entire family, but all the guests. They go there with the intention of having a good time, and we want to make sure that happens. It's basically all, it's a huge family event.
That's great. And then, so what advice, because we have people, you know, listening to this show worldwide, and so what advice would you give a young bride or a groom that's looking for a DJ? You know,
great
are they just going to the Yellow Pages, or what do they look for?
Well, unfortunately, Yellow Pages or any other form of advertising does not indicate the quality that you're going to get. You could be the worst DJ in the world and spend a ton of money on Yellow Pages. It's important to get referrals from, you know, friends and family members that have seen that person or asked to see a video. I mean, everything is, you know, shot on video these days. Sit down with the people and, you know, ask them questions and see what kind of personality they have. You know, a good, you know, whether it's a band, a DJ, any other type of entertainment, it is critical that they're very approachable and that they're able to deal with all kinds of people, all different age groups. And even throw up, you know, what happens if a problem comes up? How are you going to deal with that? Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, alcohol is served and sometimes people abuse that and sometimes they get crazy. Well, you don't ever want to approach that in an aggressive way. You want to, you know, soften it up and be done with it. So, no, there's just, you know, there's a lot of entertaining, there's a lot of fun, and sometimes there's a handful of problem solving. And so it's real important to find out how they do things. And I think number one best advice would be the entertainer's attitude. That is 90%. If the bride's talk to a DJ that just has an incredible attitude and all they want to do is serve the couple and all the guests and make sure they're having a good time, that is 90-95% of the battle. But it's just the attitude. And you know, other than that, I mean, there's other things that are going to fall into place. I think that attire is pretty important too. I mean, the entire bridal party is usually dressed very formally. The guests are dressed very nice. You don't want to have your entertainment showing up in jeans and holes in the T-shirt, and we've seen that happen. We perform in full tuxedo, and if
wow.
It turns out it's casual, we can always take our tie off and take our coat off. You know, you can always dress down, but you can never dress up. And, you know, we are there to complement the wedding just as much as everybody else.
I love your philosophy, Phil. I mean, what a great thing this is. So when a couple comes to you, is it normally a couple who comes to you or a wedding planner? How do people find you? How do you get connected with the people you work with and do their weddings?
Our business has always come from word of mouth, referrals. In fact, I was just talking to somebody the other day about this. that, you know, how many businesses can have a platform where they're doing their job and you have 300 people there that you're marketing to future events. And all you do is you show up, do what you promised, and then a little bit more, and the business will come running to you. And so so as a result, we never really advertised. We would go to bridal shows and different things like that. We just did the best job we could. And, you know, referrals is very important.
Are you still doing the business now?
Yes. Not doing as many shows as we used to, but I never turn down gigs. Still have a really, really good time doing it.
Oh, good. Let everybody know how to find you, Phil.
Well, my name's Phil Coombs, and I'll give you my cell phone. That's the best way to reach me. And that is 626 area code 644-3227.
Can you say it once more?
That's 626-644-3227. I'll give you my email address, too, and it's Phil, that's P-H-I-L, at agentphil.com. As in real estate agent, I'm a real estate broker during the week, and on the weekends, you know, we're out there doing weddings, so we got a lot of stuff going on.
You know, that's now, hysterical. Go ahead, Nicole.
I was just going to say, as we're talking about real estate, that people across the country, you know, that are in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, or in, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, or whatever, that really are listening to the show and they understand that you understand music and a wedding in a very different and a compassionate way, can they contact you just for a consult?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've talked to people literally all over the world, and I'm happy to. I mean, if it's not in my area, they can still email me, they can call me. I'm happy to help with, you know, anything and everything, and, you know, answer their questions. And some years ago, we kind of went international. One of the things we used to do as a promotion is we would have Frisbees with our name and logos on them, and at the end of the reception, we'd, you know, throw them out to the crowd. And I got a call one time. There was a couple there on their honeymoon down in Australia, and a Frisbee went by and almost hit them, and they picked it up, and it was one of our Frisbees, you know, which was pretty funny. So now we can tell people we've gone international. But, anybody that wants to call me, email me, I'm happy to help them and answer any and all questions. And no charge for that. I really enjoy helping people with their weddings. The other thing is the thing that is so critical about a wedding, and people call me a control freak. I mean, the outside, I'm smooth. In the back, I'm a stress case. But it's with a wedding, there is no margin of error. You can't ever use the excuse that I had a flat tire, I was late, I forgot this, I forgot that. And so it is very critical that, you know, whether it's going to be a DJ, a band, a florist, a photographer, everybody get there early, everybody bring backup equipment, everybody plan for the worst and hope for the best. And it's a cliche, but it's true. And in that way, you set yourself up and the entire reception for success.
What a great thing, and what a great vision, and what a tremendous thing. So what are some of the most favorite weddings that you've done, Phil?
My favorite weddings is when there's a lot of culture that's brought in, a lot of diversity. There's so many nationalities that have their own, you know, specialized music and their own specialized dance. Case in point, Zorba the Greek. I mean, that's, everybody knows about that. But, you know, the little Greek dances or the Spanish dances or, you know, Italian or whatever that you can bring in. You're probably familiar with the chicken dance.
Right.
That originally was from France. And it was, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but I think it was La Danse des Canards, which was Dance of the Duck. That originated in Europe. I can I'm proud to say that I was one of the very first DJs in America to play that song. We happened to be doing a wedding once, and the grandmother was coming from France, and it had just come out, and she brought a very, very brittle 45 to me. And she couldn't speak English very well, but it was being translated, and she taught me how to do the dance, and, you know, we got everybody going. But, you know, it's an example of just a lot of fun, different things. And everybody's, like I said, everybody's there to have a good time. And so when you can bring in, you know, a lot of cultural things to the wedding, it just makes it, you know, a lot more fun.
Well, how about when you have really, like, orthodox religious things? Like, I could think of, you know, traditional Catholic, traditional Jewish weddings. Does that require any special finesse for those kind of weddings with the music?
Not at all. I was raised Catholic. We like to have fun. I have tons of Jewish friends. They like to have fun. There's nothing there that would limit you in terms of playing any music. And it really gets back to, you know, don't play anything or do anything that could possibly be offensive. Now, with the Jewish culture, you know, they have the chair dance, and that is a lot of fun. You know, we put the bride and the groom in a chair and lift them up and, you know, parade them around the room. You know, the caveat there is, you know, make sure that there's plenty of strong guys to lift in the chair. You don't want to be dropping the bride.
Right.
but, you know, just a lot of neat things like that. So this side of any religion not allowing dancing or music, which is very few, there's really no limitations as far as what you can or cannot play, as long as it's, you know, appropriate to an overall crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So,
fascinating.
You know,
fascinating. Well, let me give everybody your information again, Phil, because I want to make sure that if people do want to get in touch with you, they can. It's Phil Coombe, Coombe. Phone number is 626-644-3227. And his email is Phil, P-H-I-L, at agentphil.com.
That's the one.
So thanks a million for spending some time with us. This has been just a fascinating conversation, and it makes me happy to hear that you hold the space like that for the couples, and it just, there's such an ease to all this, Phil. I just wish everybody had this level of ease in their weddings and their special days.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's real important, because this is, you know, quite often it's the most important day of their life up to this point in their lives. And you want to make sure that everything just runs real, real smooth. Nobody needs to know that you're doing 50 different things in the background. All they need to know is everybody had fun.
And it sounds like you still have that spirit thousands of weddings later, which is just amazing to me.
Oh, yeah, I like to have fun. I like to have fun, and I there's a difference between making fun of people and make fun with people. I like to make fun with people. I never really do anything at anybody else's expense, and you know, most people feel that way. And you know, the biggest compliment that I could ever get coming from a wedding is when that 85-year-old couple walks away. As they're leaving, and they come up to me, and they're sweating and out of breath, and they tell me, "My gosh, Mr. DJ, we haven't danced like that in 30 or 40 years. Thank you very much." To me, that means more to me than somebody coming up and giving me a $100 tip, which tips really didn't. I mean, some people take tips. It really never meant a lot to me. I always liked that older couple coming up and saying, "My gosh, this was the best wedding I've ever been to." And that's,
well, so
that's
that brings me to an interesting sort of etiquette question, Phil, in terms of pricing and ranges of things. Is there a range that people can expect to pay? Now, I'm going to presume that that's going to be related to the geography of something. And then how do you tip? How should people tip you? Or their DJ?
That is a very, very hard. In fact, I'm probably the person that you don't want to ask that question, because I never really cared about tips myself, and it was nice when we got them. Typically, with entertainment. Tipping is generally done much more so on the East Coast than the West Coast. And it's not so much that us on the West were cheap. It's just everybody on the East Coast, they're just accustomed, you know, to tipping people.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, you know what, it's if you want to tip, that's great. We charge accordingly for our services.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you would like to tip one of our DJs at the end of the night, it's completely at your discretion, and we're not going to give you a percentage. We're not food
mm-hmm.
service, and I'm not trying to crumb on food service. You know, they have their percentages, but it's whatever you want to tip and if you want to tip, but it'll make no bearing on the quality of work that we're going to perform for you. So
fantastic. And what? How should people understand pricing for DJs?
Oh, gosh, it depends on what they're providing. It depends if there's going to be travel involved or different setup fees and things of that nature. But you're going to find a range from, I would say if you're going to, see, it depends state by state.
I
would say rule of thumb, to get a good professional DJ, possibly one, possibly two. We would usually work in teams. You're going to pay the range is going to be depending on the area, anywhere from $700 to $2,000 or $2,500. So that it's a significant range depending on
mm-hmm.
you know where it's going to be and you know logistically across the country. But if you're going to pay anything less than that, you're going to get people that, and I've done stuff for less than that. I've done stuff for free. I do a lot of charity events. So it's, you know, but you know, for a pay gig, I'd say $700 on up.
Well, that's fantastic to give us all this information for our listeners.
Oh yeah, and if they missed it or forgot it, they can just call or email, and happy to help with it. And you know, for that matter, if they're ever questioning a DJ or want this and they want me to talk to them, I'm happy to do it, you know. So, you know, that's not a problem either.
So we so appreciate you and your compassion, your love for people and the art of the wedding and the music and the joy of the day and your time. Thank you for being with
pleasure.
Us, for being who you are. What a special person.
Thanks for coming on, Phil. What a great segment and so informational. And the other thing I love about you being with us is just how much of your heart you've given us on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I'm happy to come back on the show anytime. And speaking of stories, and it'll probably be for another show, but I've got all kinds of funny stories. We've seen virtually anything and everything that you could possibly imagine.
That's fantastic. So you know what I would love? I have one musical request.
Yes.
Will you give us, email us your favorite piece of wedding music? I'd like to be able to play that on the show.
Okay.
And
just need a little bit of clarification here. Now, when you say wedding music, are you talking ceremony-type music, fanfare music, dance music? And these are the questions I would always ask the bride and groom when they say, we want this, I would just, you know, drill down and get a little clarification. So tell me what you want to accomplish with it, and then I'll send it to you.
I want the piece of music that for you most typifies weddings. So it could be whatever that piece of music is, Phil, because it's going to be something that I'd like to have that we can play as part of our show. And, you know, maybe you say, well, you should have one of these and one of those kind, you know, for the different things that happen in a wedding. You know, I'll leave that to your discretion because, again, you're the music man.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll definitely send that over to you.
Thank you, Phil.
So thanks again for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much
for your time, and I know how much our audience appreciated it as well. So I'm sure you're going to be hearing from many brides.
that'll be awesome. So, well, thank you again, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
Perfect.
All right,
thank you, Phil.
Right. Have a wonderful night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Well, how fun was that, Nicole? You know?
What great information.
Yeah. I mean, just fantastic and so lovely and forthcoming. So I hope that every one of the segments we do has this kind of feel and flavor. I mean, that's really a wonderful kickoff segment of what we intend to do every show.
Absolutely. Now, do you know where the word tip came from?
Since to ensure promptness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do know that one. My father taught me that one well.
Yes, so people used to tip before service. You know, now it becomes commonplace.
Yeah.
But truly, it's not part of the service. The service is the gift. The service
right.
is the talent. It is the creativity. And like he's saying, you know, that we're not going to do a better job or less of a job whether you tip or not. We're going to do the very best job we possibly can because it's your special day and we're here to make it special for you.
Right, and I loved what a committed part of the team he is. I mean, just extraordinary and on so many levels. So I'm really glad that you brought him to the table for us tonight. So in our remaining time, Nicole, we're going to have about another sort of 11 minutes before we're kind of done with our show tonight. So talk about your trailer, dreambodydreamday.com, and the trailer. Talk to us about that for a few minutes so everybody can know what that's about.
Okay, of course. So Dream Body Dream Day, if you weren't with us in last week's show, it's a class that I used to teach, and it was a 90-day program for brides to get into their wedding dress. And what we found in the process of that was that there was so much more that a bride needed, because during those 90 days that the bride was working on fitness, she needed to de-stress. She needed to communicate with her fiancé. She needed to be able to continue to make love, to be able to be in this cherished state and not be into this frantic, frazzled state. She needed to communicate with her sisters, with her mother, with her in-laws, with her family, with the wedding planners, and she needed to send out invitation and pick flowers and pick the band or the DJ or whatever she was doing. And then not only was she doing all of these things, but she had to figure out where they were going to live. Are they buying a house? Do they need real estate advice? Does she need to change her name? Does she need, you know, to get a marriage certificate, blood work done? Is she step-parenting? Does she need to know how to step-parent? Are they combining families? All of these things that come into play as you're stepping in to a wedding. And so what we decided to do was to create a program, which was, you know, birthed from this 90-day fitness program, and the program we call Dream Body Dream Day. And the program started as a weekend program, and we are still doing these weekend programs, and they are, to me, one of the greatest gifts that I can give a bride-to-be, is to do this weekend program, because what happens is we do them all over the world. And so they're being done. It doesn't matter if it's Atlanta, if it's Chicago, it's Philadelphia, Los Angeles. And you'll be able to go to our site, Dream Body, Dream Day, and find the weekends in your area. And what we do in the weekend is we teach people the right fitness for their body. So if it's that they want to lose weight, if they want a little waist, if they want a long neck, whatever the body design is that they want, so they're happy with their body. And we also teach them how to write their wedding vows. Because what we learned was, like, a lot of women get up there and they're so nervous, they don't know what to say, and then afterwards they realize they didn't say what was in their heart. We teach them fashion forward, and we're going to have a very special guest on our show, Sherry Geffen, and I can't wait until she's on because she's extraordinary. And she will do fashion forward. She will tell you if you were getting married in 2014 or 16, these are the styles, these are the trends, this is how you pick bridesmaid dresses. And she'll tell you everything from you landing in a private helicopter and taking a limousine to the very best, you know, stores in Beverly Hills and Dallas, to also going to, like, the swap meets, to getting, you know, things at cost, and how you go about having an affordable wedding. And so she will teach you how to do all of those things in fashion, and we do that over the weekend. And then we give relationship advice. And Karen was talking about the Mars-Venus relationship advice, and that's what we do. We're working with Mars-Venus, and we're sharing, you know, how you deal with, you know, your in-laws, your parents, your spouse, your family. What if your parents got divorced when you were five, and this is the first time they're going to see each other? And we talk you through all of those things. And so we also have a contest where you can write into us
and you could tell us why you think your mother or your maid of honor should come to the weekend, and we'll give away one free ticket for a mother and one free ticket for a maid of honor where they can come with you. And that's really special, too, to share the weekend. And then on the Saturday, we do a fashion show. So you get to see the latest styles and bridal dresses and trends. And so you can go back to your hometown and you can pick something that looks like that, or we can tell you where you can get that around the world. And so that's wonderful to have that as part of that. And we teach you how to navigate the bridal shows. But everything that you really want to know, we teach you on that weekend. And then what we've done is we've had so many requests from around the world that people said, well, gosh, you know, I live in Sydney, I live in Perth, I live in Brazil, I live in Hong Kong, I can't make your weekend in Atlanta, but I'm getting married in May. And so what we've done is we've created a 90-day online program. And the 90-day online program we'll be sharing here, and many of those guests will be our guests here. And in the 90-day online program, you actually have speakers and transformational leaders from around the world. So they will teach you how to step-parent. They will teach you how to feng shui your bedroom if you want to have children. They will give you real estate advice if you're buying your first home. They will teach you how to combine your money, or if your spouse has passed away or you got divorced, how to start over again. They'll teach you how to get over wedding jitters. You'll have goal planners that will teach you, did you send out your invitations? Did you pick your band? Did you do these things? We'll teach you about green weddings. We'll teach you about how to take care of yourself in the process of this. And most importantly, we'll teach you, once you get married, how to continue that happiness, how to have that happily ever after that you've always dreamed about. And the website is being done in 9 languages. So if you're in Italy, if you're in France, if you're in China, you can go to the website, because it's the same advice with the young bride. And what we've also included now is that we have a special program, as Karen was talking about. If you have been married 3 times or more, you don't really need a little waist. You need to learn to communicate. And we have a special program. This is for you. And the great thing about the website is it's designed specifically for you. So very much like an eHarmony, you would answer questions. And if you're marrying someone with children, you can get step-parenting advice. And if you're not marrying someone with children, you're never going to get step-parenting advice. And if you want to have a baby, you can learn how to feng shui your bedroom if you want to do that, or, you know, different vitamins or different nutrients in order to get pregnant or whatever that is. So what you are looking for, there are answers specifically for you. You're not hit with emails from anything. It's just an encyclopedia of information from around the world. And then we've also talked about what's included in the Dream Body Dream Day weekends, as well as the online program, is that we have couples that have been married over 30 years around the world sharing their marital advice, and that is priceless. And we're going to be playing many of those here and have some of those couples on our show, which I'm really excited about, and let this couple hear what works and, you know, how you have longevity in a marriage. So I'm really excited. So as soon as we launch the website, you know, we'll be sharing all that information with our listeners. And in the meantime, many of those guests are lined up right now to be speaking on this very show. So you're going to get to hear their information. You're going to see, you know, and be able to talk to them about all the amazing, 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 you know, encyclopedia volume worth of wealth of information that you are looking for specifically for you. If you are marrying someone from another country, from another religion, if you always wanted to know, you know, how to do something and you have no idea how to do it, if you want to work with someone for your honeymoon, a travel advisor, a cruise person, how do you find, you know, a location? What if you want to be married on the Eiffel Tower or on a submarine ship or jump out of a plane? Whatever information you're looking for, you will be the greatest resource around the world for young brides, for new brides, for brides that have already been married, and also how to live that happily ever after life after you've been married. And so that's what Dream Body Dream Day is. And you'll see on the video, it'll tell you how to be a 10 bride. It'll tell you how to go from the red carpet to the white carpet, because we have celebrity experts that are going to teach you how to do that, everything from makeup to hair tips, to really how to take care of your heart and your spirit and soul, and just how to find a nice massage and have a wonderful time for yourself in the process of making your dreams come true.
You know, what a great vision, Nicole. And it feels like what Phil is doing. And I think one of the things I love about this show is just how much, you know, it's heart-based and heart-centered and, you know, the vision of it. The vision of the show is really helping people, facilitating what needs to happen for happily ever after.
Well, thank you very much for holding that space and making that happen. And you're part of that. I mean, you've been in that world writing vows. You've been, you know, as officiating weddings for, you know, you've been in the world of love and the world of spirituality and the world of making dreams come true. And I think that that's why it is such a magical gift for our listeners that you're hosting the show.
Well, thanks, Nicole. And, you know, one of the things that I love about the Dream Body, Dream Day is, as you're talking about that, I don't know of another site or another resource that offers all of that, that perspective, that sort of depth, that bandwidth, 90 days so people can really, you know, have a plan and a program to work. I think it's just a fantastic thing. So I'm thrilled that that's coming online, and I hope that we're going to really be able to announce that and showcase it in our next show.
Absolutely, and I'm so thrilled to be part of it. I really am, and I just know that, you know, it's helping people around the world, and it was an answer to a call.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that we just in our heads created. We had people from around the world saying, please, you know, can you do something? We can't get there in person. Is there a way we can get this information? So this was the answer, you know, to the hearts of the brides, you know,
and you know, it's
the newlyweds around the world.
And one of the things that I'm always curious about is, okay, so, you know, the women are now beginning to rise up and take care of themselves, and this is Wake Up Women for sure. Do you know of anything similar to that for men?
No, I don't. But one of the services that we offer, and I think we talked about this on our first show, but again, if you weren't with us on the first show, one of the services we offer is we actually are writing speeches for the best man.
Yep.
Because sometimes they are not so savvy. So we are offering the service to be able to help the best man write a speech. And then we also have this wonderful arena on the site where they're beautiful, amazing gifts for your man. And so if, you know, your fiance or your husband, it's Valentine's Day or it's his birthday or it's your anniversary or whatever that is, and so we have real estate courses and we have, you know, Jack Canfield success principles and we have all sorts of, you know, amazing, empowering, you know, safaris to Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, like whatever it is
right.
that these men are looking for that are grand gifts. So you don't have to rack your brain at Home Depot.
Right.
You can say, oh my gosh, this is what he's always been looking for. This is an adventure where he can climb the highest mountain. This is some safari he can go on. This is where he can get the best real estate advice or the best marketing advice or the best coaching or, you know, whatever it is that he's into and looking for. You would be able to find the pinnacle of information and gifts for him there. And, you know, it is the greatest resource. And also for couples, for people like John Gray that you can get relationships, you know, counseling with, and even before you're getting married, how to have that perfect relationship. And, you know, Alison Armstrong's work, just amazing work, of, you know, for men and for women. So all of that information will be available, you know, and so that is for the man. That is how to keep that passion alive. That is how to listen to him. That is how to make him your hero, how to make him feel like a king all the time, and how to make your relationship, you know, solidified in a way that it's just more beautiful every moment, every day. And that's what we're really looking for. So, yes, it is for men as well, in the fact that we're opening that door for all these opportunities.
Well, and I love the vision, Nicole, of that. And just, you know, how cool is that you know, women, you know, because men often it's like, oh, you got me that, instead of something of inspiration. And so what a great way that they have those kind of things on a website to be able to do that. So what I'd like to do in our remaining time, because we've got, you know, a few minutes left, is to talk about what we're going to be doing for our show next week, and then to also talk about the books again, and then Wake Up Women contact information, and then the Saturday show. So tell everybody about who we're going to have for our guests next week, Nicole?
Well, we have a couple guests, you know, lined up right now, and so I would love to be able to, you know, share all of who's coming. We have Shari Geffen, who I've been talking about, who I idolize. If I could just, you know, there's Sideshow, which is the twins. They're like one body, two heads, whatever.
Right.
You know, if I could connect myself to Shari, she knows fashion better than anyone. I mean, it is amazing. You could be standing and she could throw a tablecloth over your shoulder and it will look better. Like, whatever it is that she knows how to do, that she could tweak the tiniest little thing. And even whether it's not just even in clothes, not just even in it, she can make a room, the decor of a room, just be the most gorgeous room just by a small centerpiece or a napkin ring, or that can change the entire energy and feel of a room, or a website or an invitation, or I don't know anyone that has a better sense of style. So she's going to be doing Fashion Forward, and like you, she's also, you know, officiated a lot of weddings as well, just because she loves to be in the heart and the center of beauty. But her, I mean, from the top celebrities, if you think of any female celebrity, she's had her hands in creating that beauty and that glory. So I'm so thrilled that she's going to be with us. And then we're going to have Shelley Lefko from the Lefko Institute, and they're going to talk about step-parenting, which I think is really incredibly
important. That's
key
in this day and time, since 50% of marriages go sideways.
Unbelievable. You know, and so she's really going to come in and talk to us and help women who are, you know, marrying men with children and how to go about doing that, or if they have their own children and you're combining families and how to go about doing that. And so I'm so excited, and she's a doll. She's so energetic and she's so smart. And so we're going to love having her on. And then Lise Janelle is going to come in from Canada, and Dr. Lise Janelle, who wrote the book on the open heart, which she's going to talk about her book on how to keep an open heart, and she's going to talk about stress busters, how you de-stress, and
we're going to have only one of these people on every night, because there's just too much I want to know from each one of these people, Nicole.
And so she is just, oh my gosh, she's going to be funny and informative, and she's a doctor, so she knows the way the heart works, and she knows the energy of the heart, but she really has it going on. And when she sent me her information for the Dream Body Dream Day weekend, I fell apart. I was laughing and crying, and I kept rereading things, and I was compelled, and it was so imaginative, and it was so true, and it was everything there just was beyond perfect. And so I can't wait for her to be on the show. And so, you know, and then we've got guests talking about real estate and combining your money and how to pick the right wedding song and the keys to excellence in
this
a relationship.
This is
going to
be great, Nicole.
I mean, let's tell our audience
one more time about Wake Up Women. And so if you're interested in what you've heard tonight, you can go to wakeupwomen.com and you can see Wake Up Women, all of its books, and you can also email Karen at Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at wakeupwomen.com to get involved with the books. And there's Online Dating, or Finding Love Online of All Places is one of the books, Before I Do, After I Do, and Happily Ever After. And if you had a different kind of a story, that step-parenting or something exotic, feel free to send those in as well. And they're about 1,500 words, so we'd love to have your stories. And then on Saturday mornings, we have the Wake Up Women Live radio show, which is, again, on blogtalkradio.com/wakeupwomen. And that show is where I interview the 400 current authors of the best-selling book series. So every week from 9 to 10 a.m. on Pacific Standard Time, on blogtalkradio.com/wakeupwomen, I'm interviewing those authors. So join me again. If you've enjoyed our show today, you will enjoy that show. It's, again, filled with inspiration and information, and it's a fun show with dynamic women as well. So, Nicole, what another great day we've had, another great
yes,
show.
Yes, and I wanted to thank Karen Mayfield and Phil Coombs for coming on today. It was wonderful to have them as our guests, and as always, I thank you for being here with me. It's such a joy to do this with you every week.
And it's a pleasure, Nicole, and you have a blast at Wynn, and I will look forward to seeing you in L.A. and watching more magic happen. So have a great week, everybody, and we'll be back with you next week.
And may all your dreams come true.
No one tell you what you can be. When God created you, he said you're just like me. Hold your head up, it's time to stand tall. Your beauty says you can have it.